Tonight we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 through 13. Three angels and three warnings. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for the opportunity to share tonight. And I ask you that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you will guide me. Let you will instruct us, that you'll teach us, Lord, and lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Begin reading with chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Now, prior to this, in verses 1 through 5, we see this glorious scene of praise and worship in heaven. And you see the Lamb of God there, Jesus, is standing in his magnificent glory. You see overcomers singing a glorious song of praise to the Redeemer. And then you see and hear the sound of harpists and a voice from heaven that sounds like the voice of many waters. And then comes the interruption of the angel that's now proclaiming a message to those who are remaining on the earth. So there's an innumerable company of people, amen, in the presence of God. And then this angel that is preaching the everlasting gospel is apparently he's flying throughout the earth and proclaiming this. That comes and interrupts proclaiming this message to those who are on the earth. In verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." So the first angel proclaims the gospel to the world, giving mankind, I believe, a final opportunity to repent. God is merciful. He's long-suffering, isn't he? He gives mankind many opportunities to repent and be saved. So the Lord's giving a final opportunity, a final call is going out for people to repent and worship the true and living God. So nobody's going to be able to say, "Well, I didn't know, I didn't hear, I wasn't warned." There's going to be a universal proclamation of God's word, and everyone will hear, and everyone will have to make a choice. God is just. We don't have to question his means, his motives, all right? His ways, because God is smarter than we are. He knows what he's doing. His plans will be accomplished, right? Hallelujah. So some prophecy scholars believe that this is referring to Rome, this city, this second angel in Revelation 14, verse 8. It says, another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So what's happening here is an announcement that then comes in about Babylon falling. And I believe this is speaking of a apostate or backslidden church, all right? And the world system, really, that is in rebellion to God, what we call the cosmos. When John said, "Love not the cosmos, the world, or the things in the world," it's talking about that system that is in rebellion to God. And here he says, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So whatever this system is, it's had world-reaching, amen, influence. And this is certainly referring to spiritual adultery, to those who have compromised with the spirit of Antichrist. We know that there's nothing new under the sun. The spirit of Antichrist has been here a long time, right? Pretty much from the beginning, right? We're presented with a choice of who we will serve, whether we will bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ or we will bow down to the pressure and the temptation of the tempter, amen, to worship him in denial of the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. I don't know how much clearer that can be. It does mean to apostate, right? And they're going to leave the faith. Well, what faith are we talking about? I believe the faith that was once and for all delivered, right, to the saints. And the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings or doctrines of devils, demons. Do we see that happening? In Jude chapter 1, verse 4, for certain men, says, have crept in, where it's talking about within the body, within the church, unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. God knows everybody. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. Do we not see that happening? Turning the grace of a God into a license to sin. And they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we see is this one world church emerging. It's united and it's going to be united together with a one world political system to where, okay, the church is going to mesh with the politics, if you will. And there's going to be global governance, the new world order, if you will. And this whore church, really, it's an apostate church, a whore church. We can see it emerging before our eyes. You know, the ecumenical movement is a good example of that, where all the different faiths, whether it's Hinduism or Taoism or whatever, Islam, all and Christianity, all mixing together. And let's just come together as one, you know, world and have one world religion so we can all get along and have peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You know, and we know that that's not possible. Why? Because Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He was saying that there is salvation in none other. I am the only way. And so in order for this to work, this one world order, this one world church, if you will, they're going to have to deny the deity of our Lord, first of all. That Jesus isn't God, that he was just a prophet, like Muhammad and like others. He was just a prophet. You know, they're going to have to deny that. And also that Jesus is the only way to salvation, because if we believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation, it's not compatible with this belief that all religions lead to God, right? All roads lead to God, if you will. And so it's a lie, but it's very popular because people want, again, to believe what they want to believe, not necessarily what is true, but whatever fits them. And you've heard it said before, but we will actually believe what we really want to believe. And if you really want the truth, you'll get the truth. I believe that. A person, that's why Jesus said to seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Not everything is just handed to us. God takes us, I think, through levels of faith to where we can come to the point where we're asking God for this and asking God for that. But God wants to take us to a place where we're seeking him, seeking his heart, wanting to know him and his person. Amen. Coming into the throne of grace and confidence by the new way. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus, to where we can knock on the door and say, Father, open unto us. Amen. We want to come in. Amen. And dine with you. And we're opening the hearts of our hearts to allow Jesus, amen, to come in. So we're having a relationship with him. So now we see a third angel. This third angel warns of coming destruction upon all those who take the mark of the Antichrist. Verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. How many believe it's not a good idea to receive the mark of the beast? And where's it going to be? It's clear it's going to be in the right hand or in the forehead. I don't believe it's going to be an accidental thing. I don't believe it's going to be an accidental jab or something like that. It's going to have to be a conscious decision. But you know, if people refuse the love of the truth and they refuse Christ, well, guess what? They're already lost in their sins, right? In their trespasses. And their salvation and not others. So you will end up receiving what you have been sowing all these years in your life. In rebellion to God, and you'll have no covering because there's only one way to have that covered. Amen. And that's by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord will atone. The Lord will forgive. And the Lord will no longer hold those sins against us. Amen. If we will confess them, renounce, that means to repent and turn to God. Amen. We will find mercy at the cross. Hallelujah. And all those who take this mark, I believe, will know exactly what they're doing. And I think people are being prepped for such a thing right now. Who's going to be compliant and just willing to go along with the narrative, what's popular, what others do? I don't want to be the odd duck, so I'll just go along with what everybody wants and what everybody else is expecting of me. How many know you can't serve two masters? You got to serve Jesus, amen, and not man. If you're going to serve man, you serve man as unto the Lord, amen, and only to the degree that that man is not trying to get you to do something contrary to what God wants you to do, amen. That's where we draw the line. And so those who refuse this mark, as you know, are going to be unable to buy or sell, and they're going to face death. But they will rejoice around the throne of God forever. Hallelujah. Revelation 7. 7 and verse 14 through 17. So those who say no to the mark of the beast may not be able to buy or sell, and they may be put to death, but the good news is that they're going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. And how many know that God knows how to serve a banquet? Amen? And in his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And so for us to die is not a bad thing. It's a promotion for us. For us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, we cannot be walking and living in fear of man, because that will set a trap for us, won't it? We'll end up doing things that we shouldn't be doing. But those who take this mark of the Antichrist, yeah, they'll be able to buy and sell. They'll have their temporary needs, their physical needs taken care of. And they will escape the wrath of man or the wrath of Antichrist, but they will not escape the wrath of God. So we have to make up our minds now. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. I've already committed my soul to the Lord as to a faithful creator. Amen. We know who's on the throne. We know that God wins. Amen. He's already overcome for us. And in the end, those who refuse the love of the truth and those who receive this mark will be eternally tormented in the lake of fire. Guys, I don't see how that can be worth it for, you know, the temporary pleasures of this world. And there are times I believe, and I think even now, guys, I don't know, and we can speculate as to how things are going to go from here on out. But I think right now we're also being tested in little ways of our loyalty to the Lord, you know, and who we're going to serve and who we're going to bow down to right now when it goes contrary to something you know is not right in your heart to say okay to. When they're passing legislation, amen, that is a contradiction to God's word, when they're trying to teach our children perverted things, we can't be okay with that. Amen. We need to speak up and we need to voice, amen, the truth and let people know that that's not okay. I'm not going to allow you to abuse my children. And you know what? People are waking up. People are realizing what's going on and they're getting sick of it. If we want to live in freedom, then we're going to have to be active. We're going to have to speak up when we need to speak up, be quiet when we need to be quiet. But most importantly, we need to repent personally and we need to pray. Amen. And storm heaven that God will forgive our sins and heal our land. God can do it. God can shift things in a day. Things can change in a day. And don't become weary in well-doing. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So guys, when we know this ahead of time, this should help us, you know, to bear persecution patiently. If it comes down to it, where we have to make a choice between denying Christ and saving our physical life, or losing our lives, but being faithful to the faithful one, who we know is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's the Apostle Paul, who suffered more than any of us, amen, saying this. Our light affliction, floggings, day and night in the deep, you know, light affliction, okay, stonings, right? But this is his heart. He was sold out. He had committed himself already that he was going to go, amen, and serve the Lord. He was going to get that crown of righteousness, amen, the victor's crown. He was going to finish his race. He was going to do what God told him to do, and he knew that one day he would be rewarded for that. And the greatest thing that we can hear, as you hear me say it a lot here, is, well done. We want to hear Jesus say, well done, right? We get three messages here from three different angels. And they're going to be proclaimed throughout the earth. God's going to make sure everybody has an opportunity. He's calling people to repentance. And he wants to have a people that is prepared, even at this time, for those who are still on the earth. God's going to glean, all right, for those who are still here at this time. Whether we've been raptured and are with the Lord or we're still here, God is going to, at this time, he's going to give people additional opportunity to be saved. Because that's his heart. Amen. So the third angel declares that those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus are blessed. And, you know, guys, just like this angel, you and I should seek out opportunity to proclaim the pure word. We have the pure word of the Lord. Amen. We know the truth here. Amen. Because God has allowed us to see the truth. I'm so glad. We live in a world that's full of deception. But God has given us his Holy Spirit, so that we can have discernment and we can know what is true. And the Spirit will teach us and lead us into all truth. And occasionally we may get off course, but God is a faithful Father. Amen. And he knows how to get us back in line. Because if you have the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And knowledge, true knowledge. That's a safe place to be. Amen. When you have the awareness of God in you, his presence is in you. And it's the Spirit of God that will keep us, you see. When we get off course, when we get out of line, the Holy Spirit convicts us. You know, I've been noticing my life has become more and more real to me that way. And I've prayed that way. I said, Lord, you know, if I even begin to stray, smite me with conviction, you know, because I don't want to do anything to offend you or hurt you, you know, and the Lord is faithful to that. And I appreciate that. How many appreciate the conviction of the Lord? Amen. That he works with us because he cares. 2 Corinthians, here's the last call again, to worship the God of heaven and not the beast. Now, as a believer, you know, death is actually, again, it's a promotion for us. It's not the end. And I'm just glad that we don't have to live with the fear of death, you know, but we can have peace with God and know it is well with our soul. There are a lot of Christians who are really so fearful of their lives that they quit living. I don't say that we are reckless with our lives, but that we commit our lives to him and that we bear fruit and that we serve the Lord, amen, in the capacity that he's called us to, with the ability that he supplies us, amen, while we have opportunity. We still have open doors. We still have opportunity in America, amen, to speak the word of God freely. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So here's a time when the saints are called to endure patiently. And you know, around the world, our brothers and sisters are having to do just that, by the grace of God, to endure patiently. And you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about how the things that we consider suffering are nothing to be compared to those who are in other areas and other places right now. Amen. And I think God wants his people to be strengthened, to be toughened up, if you will, in the spirit, so that we just don't melt so easily. You know, we got to be able to endure. We got to be able to take some criticism. I mean, some folks, they can't take even a little bit of criticism. If they get criticized, they fall to pieces or they start to compromise to please that person. God wants us in a place where we're so sold out to him that the only thing that matters is that I've lived the will of God for my life. Amen. That I've done what he told me to do. And in doing so, that means I'm going to be loving people whether they love me back or not. But I'm going to love them enough to tell them the truth. But I'm going to speak the truth in love, all right, with the right attitude, understanding that it was only by the mercy of God that I was able to know what I know, that I was able to receive even the truth that I do have. It is only because God has allowed me as a steward to receive that truth. So just because I don't know a lot and I don't know a lot is okay, because the Father knows what I can handle and what's good for me and what I'm not ready for at this time. Okay, so you're not going to understand everything. You're not going to have all the revelation. But what God does is he works through the body and he gives people a word, a psalm, a song, and a revelation, right? And together we can share together and edify one another mutually. As each one of us has received a gift, then we are faithful stewards to invest that gift in the work of God and building up the body of Christ. Because, guys, the Lord wants the world to be saved. But his eye is on his church, on his people, amen, to have a bride. All right. So God's people are called to hold fast their confession of faith in Jesus and to remain steadfast in their faith to the end. And the only way we can do that is by the grace of God. So we are learning how to lean on Jesus. The temptations, the tests that we face are there to develop our character so that we will be able to endure other things that are coming up ahead that we may not be aware of. And as we are faced with new situations and new challenges, the things that used to almost shake us to our core are nothing anymore. Have you noticed that? The things that we used to get shooken up over, I was all so upset about that. And it's just nothing anymore. Why? Because God has strengthened you and conditioned you through this. And you know, God does not beat up on us, guys. God will allow us to handle what we can. But he also always seems to bring in a refreshing, bring in joy, all right? Bring in just some kind of blessing. Amen? After you've gone through something. And that's why when I look at what we're going through right now in America and even our church and the sickness and different things that people are dealing with, amen? We need to look past that and know that God has an oasis up ahead, amen? He has an Elam up ahead, hallelujah. So even though right now it may be the bitter water of Marah, we know that God has something, hallelujah, that we may not be seeing right now, but we hang in there, we hold fast to Jesus, we ride out the storm. That's what the Lord has spoken to me about. He says, just ride the wave, ride out the storm, because something good is on its way. It's coming. You watch. Hallelujah. Verse 13. We're only going to finish. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What did the Lord say? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Well, you ask the question, why was that? Well, if you look at what's happening in the earth, amen, at that time, hallelujah, it's far better to be with the Lord. right, than to be on the earth at that time. But the Lord, you know, has promised us His grace, His sufficient grace, that no matter what happens in the days to come, amen, know that He's going to sustain you. He's going to keep you. And you are not to fear the future. And I remember that song. I love it. One of my favorite hymns, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And because He lives, all fear is gone. And you know, sometimes you just need to sing that and remind yourself that, listen, God has not given me that spirit of fear. Has He not? He's given me a spirit of what? Power and of love and of sound mind. Yes. So therefore we declare, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. I refuse to submit to fear, bow down to it. God says to Joshua, be of good courage. All right? Every place that you place your feet, amen, I've given to you. He's saying, Joshua, you're going to have to take courage. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted to cow down and to fear, but you need to take courage. That means you need to overcome the fear that would stand between you and the destiny that I've called you to. And we do that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Relying upon the grace of God. Calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And whosoever does will find that God will come and He will deliver. Hallelujah. One way or another, God's going to deliver. God's going to make provision one way or another. We declare that in faith, my God, you shall supply all of my need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Because you're my Father and you will provide. And I thank you, Lord, for your promise. Hallelujah. Know that the Lord will sustain us. He will keep us. Hallelujah. Now, it says their works will follow them. Everything done, guys, I'm going to finish with this, for others in the name of Jesus and for Jesus will be richly rewarded. Every kindness, every sacrificial gift, prayer, tear, word of testimony, everything that we've done in the name of Jesus and for Jesus will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Richly rewarded, because that's our Father. And our Father loves His people, His children. And He wants to share His kingdom with us. And He wants us to have an inheritance. Hallelujah. You just be a faithful witness. Stand your ground. Live a life of holiness before the world. Let them see that you don't dance to the drum, amen, of the Antichrist. You stand for Jesus, hallelujah, because there's people that are out there wandering around looking for someone that knows how to get a hold of God. And if we're compromising with the world, well, we can lose our effectiveness and the opportunity, amen, to point somebody to Jesus. So we've got to keep ourselves, all right? Stay close to the Lord and pray and ask the Lord to direct you every day. Live this life before the world so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They say there's something different about, you know, Crystal, there's something different about Annie and something different about Donna here, you know, and April. I was going to, yeah, that wasn't the one pass you up. You're in on there. Yeah. But there's something good about you, something different about you, something that's actually attractive. You know, if I'm a moth and I'm flying around in the dark, I'm going to be looking for a light. Amen. Without Christ, we're all like that moth, aren't we? We're just lost. We're not butterflies, we're moths, you know. But we're drawn to the light. We need to be that light so people can see Jesus and we can present Christ to the world. Hallelujah. Because soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. So those who die in the Lord are going to rest from their labors. And their works for God and for His kingdom are going to follow them. So you're investing now. Looking for opportunity. And it's simply, Lord, what would you have me to do today? You know, I'm really thankful for these phones. I know they can become an idol and they can become a problem, you know, an obsession. But it can also be a very effective tool, you know, in communicating. And guys, you know, I just, you know, I like to send out a daily text, you know, and I send the same text. Everybody gets the same text. I Just say, Lord, show me or give me direction here of scripture for today. And it's amazing how many people say, you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear right now. And God, and so other people, they just, maybe it wasn't for them, but it was for some. Amen. But there's ways that we can, also you could pick that same scripture up, click and drag, amen, and send it to your friends and people you know. And they're getting that word, right? And it really makes such a difference. Just like the word does for us, it feeds us. Well, some people, they're wrapped up in their life. They're going through stuff. Maybe they're sick and they're laying in bed. You could take and send that word to them, amen? And that word can just breathe life into them. Hallelujah. And let hope rise up in them again. Thank you, Jesus. But there's just different ways, you know. We can use what God has put in our hands to serve him, you know, and get the word out. Zoom. Some people are doing Zoom meetings. You know, that's another way we can do this. It's one way to get into the nursing home, by the way, because, you know, you can't go and visit anybody and they haven't got anybody to see. You know, they're isolated and they're lonely and they're just hoping that somebody will say hello to them. And, you know, and so there's an opportunity. You know, if we can get in there on Zoom, I was able to do that by the grace of God. It was my idea. It was their idea. Well, I thought, hey, that's a pretty smart idea. Let's do this, you know. And I want to tell you, it's been such a blessing to be able to just to pray with people. You know, they're looking at a tablet. And it's funny because they love seeing themselves in the tablet, too. They get a kick out of that. They're smiling. I say, smile, you're on candid camera, you know. And they get a kick out of that. But it's an opportunity. There's ways that God can work, you know. We just pray and ask him for wisdom and for direction and how we can bear fruit, amen, and how we can be a benefit to the body somehow, you know, with however God has gifted you. It doesn't have to be like my gift. It's whatever God has given you. That's what you need to be faithful with, amen. So God bless you and thank you for sitting so long and listening, because I was certainly enjoying myself tonight. Amen. I'm serious, because I just love to serve the Lord, and it's a joy to serve him and to serve you. Amen.